translation. I shall describe in detail this incident of chastisement later in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Lord, being very much satisfied by this chastisement, sent Damodar Pandit to Navadvip. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Damodar Pandit, who was formerly known as Saibya in Rajdham, used to carry messages from Lord Chaitanya to Sachi Mata. And during the Rath Yatra festival, he carried messages from Sachi Mata to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Text 33 is Tanara Ajuvak Shaka Sankara Pandita Prabhupada Patana Yara Nama Vidita. The 11th branch, the younger brother of Damodar Pandit, was known as Shankar Pandit. He was celebrated as the shoes of the Lord. Translation once again to 32. I shall describe in detail this incident of chastisement. Later in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Lord, being very much satisfied by this chastisement, sent Damodar Pandit to Navadvip. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shilakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Banchakalpadrupascha Kripa Sindhubhayavacha Patitanam Babanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastarya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschastari Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nitananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda The trunk, branches and sub-branches of the Chaitanya tree number in some 90 devotees who are listed in this chapter, the 10th chapter. And here, in this verse, the 10th branch has been explained as being Damodar Pandit. When the Lord was in Jagannath Puri, of course he's still there, but when he was there, there were a total of 37 devotees listed who were based at Jagannath Puri with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, from each branch of the tree have grown hundreds and thousands of sub-branches of disciples and grand disciples. Later, in the Antya Leela, Chapter 3, it has been described that a young beautiful Brahman girl in Jagannath Puri had a very handsome son who was coming every day to take darshan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Well, this was not very much to the liking of Damodar Pandit. And as a result, he mentions to the Lord, if you display so much love for this boy, people will doubt your character. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Doubt your character. Now, hearing these words from Damodar Pandit, the Lord, of course, sends him packing. He sends him to Navadvip to supervise the affairs of his mother, Mother Sachi. The Lord also especially requests Damodar Pandit to remind his mother that he, the Lord, has sometimes going to her home to accept the food she offered. Just to remind her that she is always there accepting what she has offered. So following the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Pandit Damodar went to Navadvip, taking with him all kinds of prasadam from Lord Jagannath. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been given the title of Swatantra. Any idea what Swatantra means? Thank you. The independent. And only the Lord can be Swatantra in essence. Only He can be independent. Everyone else is dependent on Him. However, when dealing with certain devotees, we see that he has to somewhat bow down to others. He bows down to Jagannandam Pandit, who is Satyabhama. In previous verses it's been described. And later on in the Antya Leela, the Lord has to accept the criticism of Ramchandra Puri. If you recollect, Ramchandra Puri was a senior sannyasi, one of the leading sannyasis of Madhravindra Puri. So, a senior of Lord Chaitanya. But Ramchandra would continuously criticize the Lord. One time when he came to Puri, he accused all the devotees that you're all eating too much. He accused Lord Chaitanya. He looked at the floor and he said, there's ants around on the wall. You're eating too many meat sweets. Meaning Mangalati sweets, maybe he was eating too many of Mother Kalanganath's sweets. And you're getting too fat. And this is not good for a sannyasi. So who is Ramchandra Puri? Obviously in Brajalila he is Jyotila. Jyotila is the mother-in-law of Radharani. And as a mother-in-law, she's always making sure that she tells off Radharani, which is what generally mother-in-laws do. Possibly not now, but in bygone ages. And then we obviously have the example of Damodar Pandit, who seemingly appears to be criticizing the Lord. In the Bhagavatam we see that there are many leelas of chastisement. One which is most striking is that of Durvasa Muni chastising Maharaj Ambarish and indeed offending the great saintly king. In Bhagavatam 444, the fourth chapter, 44th verse, Durvasa Muni with red shot eyes. He has red shot eyes and in a very agitating and angry manner, he states, Aho asya nushamsaya shri yomatasya pasyata. Pasyata, such very heavy words are used. Dharma
Dharma Vikraman Vishnu Abhaktasya is accusing the king of Abhaktasya, Minanaha. Aho, he begins, alas, alas, just see the behavior of this cruel man. How can he say that such a saintly king is cruel? Just see the behavior of this cruel man, he is not a devotee of Vishnu. Being proud of his material opulence and his position, he considers himself God. Just see how he has transgressed the laws of religion. And all that Ambarish Maharaj does is he folds his hands, you see in the picture, and he just accepts such heavy criticism. In the recent BTG, just out last month, or possibly even this month, there is a wonderful article written by our very own Krishna Dharma Prabhu, who has written this article entitled The Sheltered King. Anyone read it? A Sheltered King. Wonderful. Thank you. At least one hand goes up, Srinivas Prabhu Ki. King Ambarish ruled over the entire world and achieved inexhaustible, unlimited opulence and prosperity. Saintly king was an emblem of Krishna consciousness, with his mind and senses continuously engaged in the Lord's service. The Lord became greatly pleased with the king, and he bestowed upon him, as we know, the chakra weapon, the Sudarshan chakra, which protected the king from all enemies and adversities. When Durvasa Muni returns from Vaikuntha, we all know the pastime, so I won't go through it. When he returns from Vaikuntha, he appeases the king. How does he do that? He goes immediately to the lotus feet of the king. He dives at the king's feet. He grasps the, claps the feet and begs for forgiveness. Now, if I was the king, I would have thought, yeah, about time, mate. You know, about time. But the king, he was utterly horrified at the act of this Muni, who was very, very elevated. Durvasa Muni is one of the, you know, most powerful sages within this universe. And for such an act to be performed, that someone is coming to my feet, you know, he was horrified. Hang on a minute, don't do this. And he immediately offered his prayers to the Sudarshan chakra. And as a result, that's when the chakra, you know, he was then, the Durvasa Muni was then spared. Otherwise, the chakra would have annihilated him. Because as we know, Durvasa went everywhere. He went to Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Narayan. No one could really do anything. Lord Narayan gave him the instructions or the advice that go back to the king and offer your obeisance to the king because you have seemingly offended. Of course, Ambarish Maharaj hadn't taken any offense, such is the elevated king. Now, certainly the chastisement of devotee or any person wrongly performed could possibly have devastating effect. I remember when on Sankirtan, sometimes you have to chastise a devotee. You're not doing enough. So I chastised one devotee. And the following morning, I went in the ashram and he was taking a shower with another devotee, not knowing that I was standing outside the shower. And this devotee said, "This Neela Madhava, you know, who does he think he is? He just ripped my head off, you know, for no reason. So he was really criticizing me. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm right outside the shower, mate. I was listening to all the wonderful words coming out from the two devotees who were in the shower. Sometimes it happens, isn't it? I'm sure the brahmacharis can vouch for that. I listened, and of course, I wasn't agitated at all. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Shri Gonitaya Bhagavan ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai. So, of course, chastisement could certainly have a very devastating effect. I mean, with Maharaj Ambarish, just to understand his position, Maharaj Ambarish worshipped the deity of Madan Gopal, and he was based in Mathura. From Mathura, the king was controlling the entire planet, if not beyond. And that deity of Madan Gopal was later on worshipped by Kubja, the hunchback gopi. So chastisement in relationship to this, because in essence this verse is, the word chastisement has been mentioned twice. So in relation to this, in the ninth chapter of the Adi Lila, Kaviraj Goswami has devised a figurative example of describing the desire tree of bhakti. Because if chastisement is such a thing that aparad could very easily be caused, and hence the creeper of bhakti can be cut, as it were, or severed. So I suppose when one is in service of the Lord, and correction is required, it may very well be accepted. However, it's a thin line. One has to be very particular and careful. So, the desire tree of bhakti has been explained there. And in 2009, in the BTG article, which I came across a few years back, there was an article on extra plants, I don't think any one of you would have possibly read it, and if so, you may have forgotten about it. But extra plants, now just imagine, because in the ninth chapter, Mahaprabhu is going on about him being the gardener. So he's the supreme gardener. But just imagine that all of you are gardeners. And that in your garden, of course, the garden is the body or the existence. And you are the gardener of the garden, being the body. And in your garden, being your body, there are extra plants. Somewhat unwanted. And I'm in your plant. A rogue plant, as it were. I'm an extra plant. For I am false prestige. And I'm the head of many, many other extra plants in your garden. Or should I say weeds? I shouldn't say weeds. You can, but if you do so, you'll offend me. For I am false prestige. And under my control, there is many other plants, lust, greed and anger, which blocks the growth of the vine of your bhakti. I am false prestige. I rear my head like a cobra, not to strike at someone, but to catch the sun. Last 2-3 days there hasn't been any sun. But it's to catch the sun. I dominate your garden with my presence, for I am false prestige. And for me, there is always good drink, plenty of fertilizer. I sprouted the very mere existence I sprouted. And rich things of the world I enjoy, such as good fertilizer and good drinking water. Now the gardener, being you, have identified me as quite a worthy plant in your garden. I stand amongst the strongest of the extra plants. I dominate. The first, there is the great pioneer of all plants, of all extra plants. He's a great guy. You love him. I love him as well. And the gardener is delighted with him. You're delighted. He's so fresh and forever green. Bright green. The more the gardener waters him, the more the gardener waters him, the more he expands. And he develops further and further. He grows taller. And he's such a demanding fellow. The gardener was always compelled to water him. Always watering him. Who may he be? Okay, green, leaves, any other? Of course, is none other than lust. Next arrived another most demanding plant. Very demanding. The only way he could get his watering was to root himself right next to lust. You've never seen such a pair. They're formidable. They're formidable, and he is greed, gentlemen and ladies. Greed. Then came a plant who was most nasty. Very nasty plant. And indeed very unpleasant. Very violent. How the gardener got so carried away with him. When this chap pushed his reddish, wrinkled leaves up out of the dirt, he was very, very dynamic. Undoubtedly anger. Now, as false prestige, these other plants began to worry me. And now I can see that the gardener was very unhappy and full of anxiety, full of worry. So I thought, let me do something. I must plant some more plants. Then along came two twin plants, though not identical. They're not identical twins. The same leaves, branches and twigs. You couldn't really tell them apart. And they were happiness and distress. Happiness and distress, the dualities. The flowers of happiness were so very sweet. Very sweet. And the thorns of distress were terrible. Very uncomfortable. Last night I had something very palatable to eat. Very sweet. It was a waffle with ice cream. Very nice. Sweet. But then, after finishing that, I had a little problem with the nail here. It was very disturbing, very agitating. Distress, happiness, distress, continuous. Yet the twins bloomed in the garden with all the plants. The gardener was now in great, great anxiety. For he had all these extra plants growing wild. Together with the twins, they were having a party, having a rave. Now, at this stage, I'm thinking, let's call in the expert. The gardener thinks that the garden is wild and really needs some direction. I remember when I moved into Harrow some 18 years back, we bought the house. And the garden was, the grass was this tall. And I'm thinking, I said to my wife, I'll do it. I'll clean up the garden. Not a problem. And she said, yeah, very funny. Without me knowing, she calls in the experts. And within half a day, it's all clean. It was a 180-foot garden. Now I'm thinking I can do it. But of course, she calls in the experts. So the gardener now is thinking, we really need to call the expert. Who may the expert be? Wonderful. Thank you, Saurav. Nice hat you've got on there. The spiritual master appears as the expert gardener. Now, the gardener invites the guru, the expert, and who was most surprised by the unruly state of the garden. And he has to come in to this horrible garden, and he sits. But he had seen chaos in many other gardens, not just this one. He's accustomed to chaos, but then he brings things to order. The expert gardener, he said, there was nothing wrong with the watering, because the excuse is, there's something wrong with the soil. Definitely something wrong with the soil, because the right type of plants are not sprouting. And the expert said, no, nothing's really wrong with the soil. Nothing's wrong with the watering. The expert gardener gave the gardener a specific select seed. And he gives the seed of bhakti. Wonderful. Thank you. And the correct watering process has been given. The watering process is shravanam and kirtanam. Simple. Very, very simple, he says to the gardener. Very simple, just shravanam and kirtanam. This is the watering process. No any other watering process. Just concentrate on this, he says. The gardener invited the expert to sit down in the garden. And in this tangled, very weedy place, very contaminated as such, it was by the extra plants looking very humble, the expert notices these extra plants. And he takes a humble seat. As false prestige, don't forget me, I'm your friend. As false prestige, I didn't like that at all. I was thinking, who's this expert? We don't need him. There's no need for him. But when I noticed that he's moved by such intense compassion, then I'm thinking, maybe he'll be useful to us. A quality that has no appeal for me in particular, for I am false. False what? False prestige. For a plant of my status, humility and compassion are non-existent. This is me. Humility, compassion, I don't need that. The extra gardener, the expert gardener, then let out a sound that seemed to come from everywhere, deep inside, as he chanted. And he chanted, and it was so very serene, so peaceful. It had a wonderful effect to the garden. And this sound was truly unique. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And as he chanted, he eliminated many of the plants. And then the watering process really took effect. And the new recruits I wanted to introduce. Because now the plant of bhakti is very much there. And it's taller and taller, growing, growing, growing. And I'm thinking, all my friends are leaving me. I'm pushed in the corner of the garden. I used to be in the center, attracting all the sunlight. But now I'm in the corner and I'm thinking, this is not good. I need to have some new recruits. I need to recruit more extra plants. And so I introduce fame, adoration, distinction. And these extra plants, I introduce them right around the bhakti creeper. Fame, because the gardener has now become very saintly, very devotional, a wonderful Vaishnava. And as a result of that, there's fame. Others respect the gardener. And hence, naturally, there's fame. And then others adore him. Prabhu, you gave such a nice class. Oh, really? Thank you. I'm adored by others. And then there's distinction. Moving up in the world. Management of the temple. Doing so many things. Responsible for so many areas. Distinction. These are the plants I plant as false prestige. Fame, adoration, distinction. And then, of course, when I realize that this is not enough, because my real purpose is to make sure that the garden is pretty much wild and that every day is a rave. So what I introduce further, I introduce politics and fault finding. Wonderful plants they are, because in management it happens. There's politics and fault finding that's always existent. And as then these extra plants are developed and nourished and blossoming, the expert gardener thought, let me see how things are in the garden, and visits once again. And then he sees that there are other plants there also. And he then instructs the gardener that, again, concentrate on your watering process. It's not the soil. Don't blame the soil. But Maharaj, it's, you know, it's this problem, that problem. This devotee is giving me a hard time. It's none of that. Concentrate on your process of watering. Shravanam Kirtanam. And as a result, the gardener then does concentrate on that. And as he concentrates further, or she concentrates further and further, eventually, cutting a long story short, eventually, false prestige becomes true prestige. True prestige. But then, as true prestige develops, as I somewhat take a paradigm shift in your garden, as it develops, there's one particular plant which was a sapling and has now become a gigantic tree, which is covering the entire garden. And it's become so very, very prominent. And that develops. And that is none other than fear. Now, fear is such a wonderful plant for some reason. Fear comes with old age and disease. The other day I had to go and see the doctor. Madan Mohan Prabhu so nicely arranged for me to go and see our doctor. It was really a physical problem here, and he examined me, and then he said, let me take your blood pressure. I said, oh, okay, do you have to? Yeah, let me just take it. So he put the gizmo there, the machine, and he said, your blood pressure's high. And I'm thinking, oh, really? He said, yes, it's like, you know, 140 over 90 something. I said, oh, is that high? And he said, yes, you may consider in taking some pills for it. You know, a small dose, a small... I said, pills? I don't want to take any pills. Fear immediately crept in. I'm thinking to myself, I have a relatively young body. It's good looking. I have clean shaven. You know, I look good. I am young. Yet this quack is telling me that I have high blood pressure? And then he asks, how old are you? My body is such and such. Oh, right, yes, well, you know, you're getting on now. I am. So this is fear. And fear comes with old age and disease. It's always there. But then true prestige is present and very much prominent. And by so, his expert guidance, meaning mine, the saksiksha, the stalk of bhakti, you can say the example of Jack and the beanstalk. Of course, when Jack climbs up there, he finds the great giant. But the stalk of bhakti, when the gardener eventually climbs and then he enters the kingdom of the Lord. So this is the process given. And this was relatively explained in the previous chapter, and I was supposed to give class at that time, and I'd prepared these notes already, and I was really looking forward to it. And then, of course, you know, literally a day or so prior, His Grace Nandan phones me up and says, no, we have a sannyasi coming, you can't give class. I thought, oh, what a pity. So anyway, I thought I'd share with all of you that was in the ninth chapter particularly. When Lord Nityananda, when he enters Jagannath Puri, when the Lord enters, he wants to really go to the garden of Gopinath, Tota Gopinath. He wants to go there. Tota means garden in Orion language. When I ask some people, some of the devotees, what does Tota mean? Most devotees say, oh, it means small. Because, you know, Tota, in Swahili, it means small, Tota. But in Orion language, Tota means garden. So the garden of Gopinath, Tota Gopinath, most of you devotees have probably been there, Jagannath Puri. It's a very, very special place. And when Lord Nityananda, he comes to Puri, first of all, he goes straight to see Lord Jagannath. And he rushes there. And everyone's trying to keep up with him. And he goes into the compound. And all the pandas are thinking, who's this character? And he's just going very quick, swiftly. And as he gets to the altar, the pandas are thinking, this chap's going to go on the altar. So they all pounce on him. And of course, as soon as they get to anywhere near the body of the Lord, they go flying on the other direction. They can't touch the Lord. Lord Nityananda gets straight onto the altar. And the altar, you know, that's just massive Sharagram Shila on top of those Sharagram Shilas are the deities. And everyone's wondering, what's he going to do? You know, they're all kind of afraid. Fear creeps in. And immediately what he does is he goes straight to Jagannath and he embraces him. He gives him a big hug. Now, as it is, the Lord has elongated arms. Now, if you can imagine, Jagannath is probably this wide. And then he further expands his arms right round Lord Jagannath. And he obviously won't let go. He wouldn't let go for quite some time. No one could really stop him. This is Mahashankarshan. Who's going to be able to stop him? Eventually the Lord does let go, probably because he's hungry. So he gets off the altar, pays his obeisances afterwards. He doesn't pay before, he just rushes in there. And then he lies there and everyone's thinking maybe he's unconscious. Eventually he does get up and he rushes out. And they're all wondering, where's he going now? So they all follow him. And he goes straight to Tota Gopinath. When he gets to Tota Gopinath, Gadadhar Pandit is there. And he notices that Lord Nityananda is appearing. And Lord Gadadhar, he just leaves the Bhagavatam, because he's reading the Bhagavatam, which is him. He leaves it there and he comes out and he pays obeisance and he begins his prayers. And as he begins his prayers, Nityananda, he says, look, forget about the prayers. I'm hungry. Cook. Lord Gadadhar, an amazing cook. Why? Because he's none other than Srimati Radharani. So he's a great, great, great cook. And Nityananda, what he does is he gives him a sack of rice. And he says, this is 20 kilos of rice, and I brought it all the way from Navadvip. You cook this rice. Gadadhar, he says, what, all of it? Yes, all of it. 20 kilos of rice is a lot of rice. You know, during Janmashtami, we get a ton of rice donated. And we don't even use probably half of that. But each sack is 20 kilos, and you know, it's quite heavy as well. But the Lord just gives it to him, and he says, yes, cook all of it. And Gadadhar, Lord Gadadhar, he looks at the grain, and he says, where's this rice from? Are you sure it's not from Vaikuntha? It's not from here. And Nityananda says, look, don't worry about that, just cook it. And also, make some shak. Make some spinach sabji. The Lord likes spinach, doesn't he? Nityananda as well. And then he says, not any spinach, make sure you pluck out the baby spinach leaves, because they're very succulent. Make sure you pluck that out. So then immediately he's going off, and he says, hang on a minute, before you do that, before you cook the rice and the shark and the sabji, make a sweet item. So it's like the menu's increasing here. So he says, that's all, just make three things. And then he also gives him some very unique and fine cloth, like very precious material. And he says, make some nice outfits for Gopinath. And offer that. And Nityananda says, cook everything and offer everything to Gopinath, and then I, and only I alone, will eat. I said, fine, okay. So off he goes, and he starts making the rice, and then he goes to the tota. He goes to the tota. This is no ordinary tota. This is no ordinary garden. When we go and do some horticulture in our gardens at the Holland Farm, all the devotees there, they're doing everything, and as they're plucking out, you know, you have to basically plant something else. But with this particular garden, as Lord Gadadhar was plucking out the spinach leaves, the baby spinach leaves, as he plucked out one, another would sprout. He would pluck out another would sprout. Continuous. And he had a pile of spinach. Because, you know, when you cook spinach, there's like a ton of spinach, but it becomes like a gram. It just condenses. So he had a whole pile, and then eventually each one he plucks out the very same place, another one sprouts, and it's all baby spinach, and then he cooks the shark. And he makes a very nice sweet preparation. He then offers all three items to Gopinath. Gopinath has these wonderful items. After which, he offers to Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda then has all this rice in front of him. If you can imagine, it's 20 kilos of rice, uncooked, which expands to God knows how much rice. And then, of course, comes Lord Chaitanya, and he begins to chastise Gadadhar that you call Nityananda for lunch and you don't call me. Of course, Gadadhar's in between, because he's being pulled by both directions. And Nityananda said, look, I didn't want you here for lunch. You sit over there. So the Lord Chaitanya, he sits on the opposite to where Nityananda is. And Gadadhar is then serving both of them. Of course, he's being pulled by both sides. But this was the first visit of Lord Nityananda, described in the Nityananda Charitamrita. Very nicely described in that scripture. Now, in the purport here of 32, Srila Prabhupada mentions that Damodar Pandit in Krishna Leela is Saibya Devi. Saibya Devi is a very intimate gopi associate of the Lord. Very literally is no information of who she is. However, we are indeed very fortunate that His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj has compiled the Navabraj Mahima. And I think it was a couple of Decembers ago, maybe not, December 13, when the distribution of this occurred. And our Ananta Chaitanya, where he's not here. But Ananta Chaitanya, he was very much in the forefront of distributing the Navavraj Mahima. And I said to him, okay, I'll take 7 sets. I said, okay, you take 7. I said, I'll take 7 sets, provided you win the marathon that year. Otherwise, I'm not going to take any of your sets. So it's like an incentive. And of course, you know, he did win the marathon, as always. And I took the 7 sets and I distributed 6, and I bought one of them for myself. And I'm thinking, this is such a vast volume of literature, 8 massive volumes. In the 80s, we had the Grand Classics. Does anyone remember the Grand Classics? There were like 5 books. And if you look at these books, the Navabraj Mahima, they're like the Grand Classics, but obviously even the quality is even better, because Maharaj is really, paid a lot of attention to quality. And indeed, we are very fortunate to have these books. And I was looking into there, and I found just 2 references of pastimes of Shaibya Gopi, who was a very intimate associate of the Lord. And it's mentioned that Damodar Pandit has become the messenger. He's the messenger of Lord Chaitanya's messenger as such. And he gives messages, provides messages to Mother Sachi. And then every time he then leaves Navadvip and enters Jagannath Puri, he brings messages for the Lord. So he's like a messenger. In Braj Leela, there are messengers as well. Now, generally the messengers are parrots. We know that Radharani's parrot is none other than Shukadev Goswami. Tulsi Maharani has a parrot. If you noticed, she's always got a parrot somewhere, right? And her parrot's name is Daksha. And Daksha has 100,000 disciple parrots. He's the guru of 100,000 other parrots. And what these personalities do, they take messages everywhere. And obviously they serve, in particular, Vrindadevi very nicely. So, one particular pastime, of course, in the Navabraj Mahima, it's mentioned that there are in actual fact 100 million gopis, and of whom 800,000 are eternally perfect. They're eternally perfect, and who had served the Lord when he was here 5,000 years ago. And the parrots, what they would do is basically they're like a sat-nav thing, a sat-nav device, you know. They'll know where everyone is, where Krishna is, where the gopis are. So one time, the Lord had mentioned to Srimati Radharani that I'll meet you at this place, at this time, and make sure that you're not late. So an instruction is given, Radharani, make sure you're there and make sure you're not late. And of course, she's there on time. And the Lord being the Lord, he's running late. He's rushing. He's rushing and rushing. And he's getting later and later. And as he's very much near to where she is, he gets diverted. He gets diverted by Chandravali. Now, Chandravali Gopi, Chandravali Devi, is a counterpart of Srimati Radharani, as we know. She very much looks like her. She dresses differently. And so she pulls the Lord into her grove, and she detains him. And it's like, look, I need to leave. He's like looking at his watch. He has to leave. I need to leave. No, hang on. Not yet. So she was really detaining him. Of course, in the air, a parrot is flying by, notices where Krishna is, and goes to report immediately to who? To Srimati Radharani. That he's not particularly late. he's with someone else. So of course when Radharani hears that such news, she's pretty much devastated. She's been stood up. And she's angry. Now of course when Radharani gets angry, you don't want to be there. And Krishna is dying to leave. Eventually he pulls himself away, as it were, and rushes. Of course, when he gets there, Radharani is no longer there. She's very angry, very disturbed, full of abhiman. Abhiman means transcendental anger. And she's not there. So this time, to appease her will be an amazing, insurmountable task. To appease her in such a state would be impossible. The Lord's pretty much used to appeasing her. He's used to it, but this time he knows that he's gone beyond the mark. Because he's the one who had organized the meeting. He's the one who had given her the time, the place, and told her, do not be late, and yet he is late. So what's he going to do? Of course, to the aid of the Lord, another parrot flies in and mentions to Srimati Radharani that, hang on, it's not the entire story. When this particular parrot, when he told you that Krishna was detained by Chandravali, well, in essence, he was forced. What? She forced him? Yes, you know, he didn't really want to be there. He wanted to be with you. And he was continuously looking at his watch. He wanted to pull himself away, but he couldn't. Eventually he did, but unfortunately he was late. So there was some explanation given as to why the Lord's late. And then of course, later on, no doubt, Radharani is once again in curfew, because Jyotila understands very well that Radharani goes off now and again to meet Krishna, and that's not on. So she's been in curfew for 3 days, a total of 3 days, inside, in Jabat, in the house, locked up, only with her friends, only with the gopis being there, present. So Krishna is nearby Sankat. He's there with Shubal, and he's thinking that I really do miss her. So Shubal, can you do something? Shubal is one of the Gopa friends, Gop Kumars. And Shubal is quite unique because he is identical in features to Srimati Radharani. His features are very identical. So Krishna's saying, can you, look, sort something out? Because I really need to see her. It's an emergency now. Because she's in curfew. So you do something. So Shubhas, he's thinking, okay, I'll try. I can't promise anything. So off he goes. And it's mentioned in the Navabraj Mahima that Shubhal, he's approximately 12 and a half years old. So he's a young lad. And so then what he does, Shubhal's family and Abhimanyu's family, Srimati Radharani's family, are very close. So Jyotila considers this young gopa, Shubhal, as her son. She's very much affectionate to him. And so what Shubhal does, he picks up a young calf and he enters the compound of Jabat. And he goes to the chambers of Radharani. And of course, undetected, even though the whole place is somewhat fortified, he's undetected. And he enters the chambers with the calf in his hands, because the excuse was, if he was detected, if Jyotila comes along and he says, what are you doing here? And the reasoning would be, well, the young calf had gone astray and come into your compound and I'm just taking him back. Why? Because Krishna's nearby. And as soon as Jyotila would hear that, hang on, Krishna's nearby? Go away. I don't want him anywhere near here. So that was the excuse. Shubhal entered the chambers. He enters there. And when he enters, he notices that Srimati Radharani is literally lying on the ground, and the other gopis are very much distressed. And when they see him, they're very much joyous that, oh, if Shubhal is around, then Krishna is around. And then he comes and he says, do you really want to see the Lord? Do you want to see Krishna? And Radharani said, yeah, I really want to see. She's in distress. So then what we should do? I've got a plan. And she said, wonderful, what's your plan? I'll do anything. And he says, well, why don't we change clothes? She says, change clothes? Yes, you become me and I become you. I'll remain here for the duration of the curfew. You can go off and meet Krishna, and none would be the wiser. So they change clothes, and when they do, it's like Radharani is Shubhal and Shubhal is Radharani. And Shubhal, he just lies there and he's pretending to be sick, and he orders the gopis to get a lot of eatables, tell the mother, Jyotila, that I need to be fed, I'm hungry, I'm sick. Of course, he has a feast. In the meantime, Radharani, who's Shubhal, walks off, takes the calf, and of course when he, or she rather, when he walks off, Jyotila catches him, and she says, what are you doing here? It's Radharani, by the way, and she says, or rather he says, well, this calf was astray, and I'm just taking the calf back. And says, oh, right, okay, whose calf is the calf? Says, it's Krishna. Krishna is nearby. Soon as Jyotila hears, Krishna, get out of here. Make sure he doesn't come anywhere near here. So he goes off. And of course, when Radharani gets to where Krishna is, she's dressed as Shubhal. And Krishna doesn't quite recognize her because she's got the turban on. And Krishna says, so, where is she? So Radharani thought, well, let's play a little game. And says, I'm really sorry, but I failed in my mission. The whole place was so fortified, it had guards, and I just couldn't penetrate. I couldn't get inside at all. So Krishna is thinking, what, your plan failed? She's not here, she's not coming. And then he takes his turban off and he begins to weep. And then when she sees that he's weeping, she felt, oh, I'd better give in. So she then takes her turban off. And of course, when she does that, her long hair comes down. And that's when Krishna sees it's Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani ki jai. And of course, they spend that time together undetected. So these are the, coming back to the purpose, these were the messengers, the parrots, the poppets are the messengers. And undoubtedly, there are many, many pastimes. I've just read up to the second volume of this wonderful scripture. I plan on doing, reading the whole scripture, as it were. The English is very powerful. Shivaram Maharaj is such a scholar. And to remember things, it's also difficult. But if anyone has the opportunity to read these scriptures, they are so, so very, very relishing. And we are indeed very fortunate. So in essence, chastisement here is the key for verse 32. And if chastisement is there, we should open-heartedly accept it. Of course, if I were to chastise you, do slap me in any which way. Please be free to do so. Hare Krishna. We do have a wedding on, and so everyone's getting quite itchy to come in. Any comments and questions? Comments are very much accepted. Questions are not so accepted palatably. Maybe someone else can answer. Any comments? Wonderful, everyone's getting up. That means no questions. Thank you very much. Shushi Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.